Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Welcome in to the Rockies Insider Podcast. I'm your host, Patrick Lyons. We've got a Dodgers series to break down, a split. That's right, not a series loss, a split. In fact, nearly could have had a four-game series win against the reigning World Series champs and probable World Series champs for 2025. Get into that another day, I think. Plenty of news and notes, Austin Gomber's whereabouts, a Shohei Ohtani home run ball, and this Pirates series coming up this weekend. The biggest note, I think, coming out of this eight-game homestand is that the Colorado Rockies will not be losing 122 games this season. They will not be losing 121 games or even 120 games this season. In fact, if you want to crunch the numbers and say, what do the Rockies need to do in order to avoid 122 losses? Avoid owning the record for most L's in a season. They only need to go 4-30. And in the history, the 33-season history of the Colorado Rockies, they have never had a stretch where they've gone 4-30. Even if you want to go and look at the end of one season to the start of the next, it's never happened. So I don't think right now, the way this team has been playing, that's not going to go down. 116 was the number that I had going into the homestand, I should say. And you know, maybe it's a little bit lower than that, but sign me up for about 116. They've just been playing a lot better. It's still a team that's going to lose 116 games. It's still a team that, when you take just what Warren Schaefer has done, and even if you want to throw out the first 10 games when he was getting his footing and the Rockies were still taking a ton of losses, I think that with like an 8-game losing streak was like 1-10 early on. Even if you throw that out and you just look at some of the better parts, it's still a 100 loss team that does not have a star in the middle of the lineup. You've got some really quality players that are borderline all-stars that you're looking at saying, well, Doyle, Goodman, Beck, Tovar, Mickey Moniak, maybe Tyler Freeman. That's something. That is a start, but that unfortunately does not make for an 80-win roster because I haven't even started talking about the starting rotation. So I guess it's nice if you were hoping that they wouldn't get that record, or I think there are a lot of people probably hoping for it because maybe that would really ensure that some change would be brought about. I did have some people express some concerns to me at the ballpark that, you know what, if they're able to avoid making the worst kind of history, are the Monforts, namely the primary owner and Dick Monfort, going to look at that as, well, maybe we don't need to change everything because we're not the worst of all time? Yeah, maybe we're one of the 10 worst of all time, but not the worst. So I guess there's some things that we're doing right. You hope that's not the case because major changes are needed. Some changes have already occurred and taken place, but they are far from enough. I would wager that maybe 25% of the job has been done. That's how far we are from this franchise, this organization getting itself back on track. That's how far off they are. But the Rockies will not be losing 122 games this season. Still have a pretty tough schedule ahead of them. Going into Thursday, they had the fourth most difficult schedule in all of baseball. In fact, the top five teams were all in the National League. And now that you've got the Dodgers coming off the board, at least just the one from Thursday, and you do have three easy ones coming up against a losing team in the Pirates, But overall, you know, it's not going to get a lot easier, but the Rockies are playing better in general. This is a team that began the season making us think, are they going to strike out more than any team in the history of baseball? And they've improved, and they've definitely put the ball in play a lot more. Warming Bernabéu has essentially allowed the Rockies to do a 180 in terms of what they were getting from their first baseman. You got Michael Tolia, a guy who struck out. There were times where it was at 40%. And now you have Warming Bernabéu, who he's a hard hitter to strike out. He's a tough at bat. And now the Rockies have a streak of 9 games where they have not struck out 9 times or more. 8 or less in 9 consecutive games. They haven't done that since a 10-game stretch back in 2015, over a decade ago. Rockies are one of 11 teams in the majors this season to have such a streak of not striking out, putting the ball in play. And the Rockies, even with the loss on Thursday afternoon to Clayton Kershaw and the Dodgers, still 7-3 over their last 10. They lose 9-5. Chase Dolander just couldn't get his footing underneath him. A lot of non-competitive pitches. That's something that Warren Schaefer did say post-game, and what was kind of a long game, 3 hours and 8 minutes. You don't see a ton of those. For 14 runs, that's kind of a lot. So Dolander failed to make it out of the fourth inning, 6th time in his 18 starts that's happened. Had that nice streak where he wasn't giving up home runs, gave up one early on, and in fact, he's the 4th starter to throw at least 97 pitches in a start lasting 3 2/3 innings or fewer in the first since Jamie Moyer back on May 21st, 2012. Brenton Doyle kept himself scorching hot with a homer, 4 RBI, doing really well. He's got himself an on-base streak that is now up to 8 games, batting .414 with 10 RBI over his last 8 games. RBI in 3 straight games. So he has been really, really good. In fact, leads the majors in batting average this month, .391, 7th in terms of RBI at 18. Jordan Beck still continuing to hit well, 2-for-4 with a double on Thursday, 5-for-9 through his last 2 games. And Jordan Beck, I mean, this is a guy that had 2 hits against Ohtani, had a hit in his 3rd at bat on Wednesday. He broke up Paul Skeens, no hitter, walked against him in his 1st at bat. He is a guy that when you match him up against some of the game's best, his best comes out. And you saw that today against Clayton Kershaw, who was solid. Couldn't get the quality start, 5 2/3 innings pitched for Kersh, but could have 4 consecutive quality starts for him. The guy's been just fantastic since his 2nd start of the season, 1.90 ERA, and he's looking to call it a career. Incredible. This guy, incredible. Freeman, Andy Páez homered today. Freddie Freeman, not Tyler Freeman. And Freeland, I believe, finished a homer shy of the cycle. Alex Freeland, not Kyle Freeland. Incidentally, no relation. I did ask Kyle at the ballpark on Wednesday, hey, are we sure there's no relation? And seems like it's not, as Kyle's family is, you know, from out here, from the Colorado area. Didn't realize his mom's family was from New Jersey, which is where I'm from. So it was nice chopping up with him a little bit, talking about, you know, his trips going to Jersey and the Jersey Shore and some of those East Coast vacations with family. But Wednesday night was the big one that we were pretty much hyped about. And by we, I mean the baseball-loving public in Denver, because from many of the staff that I spoke to at Coors Field, and attendance, they were expecting about 27,000. Now, was that exactly how many were going to be sold? Did they already know there was going to be a ton of walk-up? I think so. I think they knew there was going to be a ton of walk-up with Ohtani on the mound. Not so much just because it was the Dodgers. You should know the Dodgers are in town. I mean, yeah, there's always going to be walk-up depending on the team. More walk-ups for the Dodgers and a random pitcher. but with Shohei Ohtani on the bump, making his first regular season start at Coors Field, first proper start or proper appearance pitching at Coors Field since the 2021 All-Star game, the only other time he's pitched in Denver, we had attendance at 35,000. That was the announced attendance. It did look like 35,000 in my estimation, or at least what 35,000 looks like with all of the no-shows, but it was a really good crowd, and they were predominantly pulling for the Rockies. I didn't once get the sense that, oh man, this is a huge, hugely pro-Dodgers ballpark. I mean, plenty of blue, plenty of white, but the Rockies fans were there, and they overpowered the Dodgers fans, and it helps when you just play well. It helps when you attack Shohei Ohtani in one of the worst starts of his career. 96 career starts. If you look at game score, which is something that Bill James created, Bill James, one of the first folks, first proponents of sabermetrics. I mean, he was coming up with his own statistics in the late 70s, just a curious guy. A lot of his stuff still holds up. I haven't gone back and read it in, gosh, over a decade. But when I first got interested in a lot of the nuances in baseball and statistics and how we evaluate players, we all know who the best players are because their names are at the top of the leaderboards for homers and batting average and RBI and stolen bases. But what about a player who's only played half a season? How do you evaluate that player's talent? How do you evaluate a player who's only 20 years old, putting up certain numbers that a 33-year-old would put up? And sure, I think we would all know you want that 20-year-old, even if he's not as good right now as the 33-year-old, you know, was able to do in a single season. But Bill James was big for that. I need to go back and read up. So it's so interesting. Just some of the things that he came up with on his own. I want to say he was somewhere in Kansas. I know he was a Royals fan. But I think he grew up in Kansas and just had these just ideas and these musings on baseball. And he came up with something called game score. So you could quantify how good a pitcher's performance was, a starting pitcher. And you would get points for, you know, so many strikeouts, but you would lose points, of course, for a walk or for a hit or for a home run. And you would, you know, gain points, obviously, for how long you were going into the game. So when you just look at game score, this was the fourth worst start in Shohei Ohtani's career. Yes, seriously. Now, before the game, when speaking with Dave Roberts, he let us know that five innings was going to be the max for Ohtani. He had yet to throw five. He had pitched into the fifth his last start. But five was going to be the max. He still got four, but gave up nine hits. Five runs, didn't walk a batter, only struck out three. When you look at nine hits, five earned runs, and three or less strikeouts, only the second time that that has ever happened to him. You had Orlando Arcia lining back a ball, 93.7 mile an hour. Look, anything back up the box is going to be dangerous. Hits him on the hip. He ends up staying in the game and ended up exiting the game later on as the DH, having a conversation with one of my friends at the ballpark. Do not forget, you could not be a pitcher and a DH at the same time before Shohei Ohtani. They changed the rules. They changed the rules for baseball, but we know they changed the rules for Ohtani because if you are the pitcher and you hit, that means you are not using the DH. So there was in both, right? You could be the DH. That meant you were hitting and not fielding. So you couldn't be pitching and you couldn't be on the field. So you can't have both. And Ohtani was able to do both, but then he ended up exiting the game. I believe in the eighth inning, Alex Call came in to hit for him. And the plan was also for him to be off on Thursday. So you didn't see him in the lineup. Hopefully you didn't play hooky from work or from school. You certainly would have been disappointed for no Ohtani. You did get Mookie Betts back in the game after he got the day off on Wednesday. But no Ohtani on Thursday after he makes the start. And, you know, good on the Rockies for just stringing together a lot of singles, putting the ball in play, being aggressive on the base paths, which did bite them twice in that fourth inning against Ohtani. But really, the the man of the game that I think you would have to say was the MVP, because it was a team effort for the offense, no doubt, but the man of the game that allowed the offense to string those hits together and have those two bigger innings against a very good pitcher in Shohei Ohtani was Tanner Gordon. It's the Tanner Gordon game. Six innings pitched, four hits, one run, walked one, struck out three, only gave up a home run late to Teoscar Hernandez, who went the opposite way, just like in that Jake Cave game, 400 feet, 92 pitches. He said he was going to have a hard time sleeping that night when I talked to him. He said, well, that's the case after a start, but he was pretty stoked and was surprised to know, like, wow, that was Shohei Ohtani's first loss in over 2 years. It was July of 2023 when he was with the Angels. The Astros hung that on Ohtani. And so Tanner Gordon, you know, was the dude against Ohtani and the Dodgers in that 8-3 victory on Wednesday night. And look, Ohtani was playing in his 1,000th game on Wednesday and leadoff double on the very first pitch. And yet Gordon rebounded, got an inning-ending double play even after he had plunked Freddie Freeman. So he settled down, did an incredible job. And I'll tell you what, I was a little bit off base when it came to that 300th home run for Ohtani. Not 300 in MLB, but 300 as a professional, because, you know, while a lot of people were expecting six figures for that ball that Emily caught in left field earlier this season, I figured, you know, all it takes is one other person to have interest in the ball. And by other, I mean, you know, Ohtani's going to have interest and want that baseball. He's got more than enough money to pay for it. All it takes is one other person to say, I want that baseball. Then you have a bidding war. Then it approaches $1 million. But it wasn't even close to that. $44,000. Shocking. Only 44. I say only, but look, I'd take that. But I'm surprised it didn't go for more than that. And was it Ohtani? Was he the guy that ended up with that ball? Because that obviously has a lot of value. And yes, there'll be number 400. There'll be number 500. There might even be number 500 just in MLB alone. Sure, those will be worth that much more. But this one still seems like it would be pretty special. Now, his 44th home run of the season on Tuesday night went in the bullpen. So no fan caught it. There was someone from security who picked it up. And by the time you're hearing this, it may already be too late. That baseball was on the concourse at Coors Field at that auction area down the left field line, you know, behind third base. And it was pricey. I'll leave it at that. But they also had something going on over at the memorabilia counter where any of the baseballs that Ohtani had thrown and was tossed aside, maybe it was a, you know, curveball in the dirt, okay, get that one out of play, give Ohtani a new baseball. Those baseballs that came out of play that he threw, of course, got authenticated and were being sold at the memorabilia stand for $750. But you didn't just get it because they were expecting a large demand. And in fact, I don't even know if they were waiting to give these baseballs to fans after Thursday. Are they going to wait until after the Labor Day homestand next week? I don't know. But it was $750, and then it was going to be a raffle. So, you know, 100 people say, yeah, I want one, and there's only 20 baseballs. Then they were going to essentially do a raffle and say, okay, well, some of you are going to get one. Some of you are not. Not sure how that's going to play out. But $750 for a baseball that Shohei Ohtani threw, is that a lot? Is that not? Considering the going rate of memorabilia today, game-used memorabilia, I guess that's fair. It also sucks for those who don't have that kind of money just lying around. But fair, I guess so. $1,000 would seem crazy. So a $250 haircut, really, is that? It's not that much, but I'm going to say that's all right. So the baseball that went into the bullpen, how much was that going for? Well, number 300 was $44,000. Number 44 from this season, $40,000. Are the Rockies going to get that for essentially the same price? So a baseball that has no value or no meaning behind it, I should say, is going to go for virtually the same price as Ohtani's 300th home run as a professional? Don't get that one. Some Rockies notes: Austin Gomber placed on outright waivers. What does that mean? Well, Bob Nightingale reported just before first pitch on Wednesday, Gomber was in the dugout through the start of the game. That's basically because when you are placed on outright waivers, actually, first and foremost, outright waivers, according to the CBA, is something that is not supposed to be public. So that's one thing. But when it actually comes to these waivers, teams have 48 hours to place a claim. So up until the point in which a player has been claimed and may go to that new team, the player is still on the club. So it's not something where, oh, he's been waived, because it's, you know, not all waivers are permanent. Teams can pull back waivers. And, you know, Gomber is also a player who does have 5 years of service time. So he could reject an assignment to AAA. He could say, all right, no one picked me up. Okay, then I'm just going to be a free agent. He does have that option rather than going down to AAA. So we'll see how that plays. I think Friday is the day. Today's the day we will find out about the specifics in terms of Gomber and waiver claims. Other 29 teams do have that opportunity. And if someone claims him, they will be responsible for the money owed to him remaining on his deal. I think it's like $6.35 million. So, you know, close to another $1 million that the Rockies would save and another team would have to pick up. How waivers works is it's just reverse order of win-loss record. It used to be if it was a National League player, that player would have to go through the National League first and then go over to the American League. Now it's just reverse win-loss percentage. That's it. Cal Kjaros, man, he's been very quotable after that first home run of his career on Tuesday, saying, you know, I've dreamed hitting walk-off home runs against the Dodgers and ripping my jersey off and pointing to my chest and then my name on my back, all that good stuff. But this one just being his first home run in a loss, trotted around the bases like nothing. Also said, you know what? My dad was here and I homered. You know, if that didn't happen and I had a bad day at the plate, he might have been banned from the ballpark. So you know what? He's invited to the ballpark. Also saw on Tuesday night, Ryan Ritter colliding with the first base ump. And realized, oh, that's Lance Barksdale. And then realized, wait a minute, Rockies, Dodgers, Barksdale? Ah, yes. These were the three components that were together in the famed Jake Cave game, a.k.a. the check swing, heard around the world game from last year. Nothing like that ended up going down this week at the ballpark. Attendance for the first two games wasn't great. On Wednesday, 35,000 for the Ohtani game. And then on Thursday was 28,000 for a day game, which is pretty good in general. I still think that it's going to be hard for the Rockies to match where they were at last year. And despite a seemingly a nice bump, I don't really think the Rockies did get a very big bump with the Dodgers coming to town because they were all weekday games. In fact, even when you consider the 35,000 that showed up on a Wednesday night, midweek, on a school night, still 1,500 below per game average. Yes, Padres are coming to town. Yes, Cubs are coming to town, but that's it. That's it over their final five series of the season. You think people are going to show up to see the Marlins midweek? You think people are going to care about the Angels on the weekend? I don't think so. I don't think so. All right, this series for the Pirates, we got some early ones that are going to get in. You might have a normal life this weekend. And in a month from now, it'll be even more normal with no postseason baseball. Friday at 4:40 p.m., Senzatela versus Braxton Ashcraft, who's 3-2 with a 3.02 ERA, no relation to Graham Ashcraft. Saturday, another 4:40 start. You've got Kyle Freeland against Mike Burrows. And then on Sunday, big game. This one might be hard for you to get. I don't know if you'll be able to watch this from Rockies Baseball Network because all indications suggest this is going to be a Roku game, but it is going to be a free Roku game. I saw that somewhere, I think, on the MLB.com app. I hope that is right. I hope that it is free for you on Roku. And that's going to be at 10:05. So you're getting brunch and you're getting Paul Skeens taking the bump for the Pirates. Still to be announced who will get the ball on Sunday for the Rockies. At Patrick D. Lyons, at Patrick D. Lyons MLB, and Rockies Insider over on YouTube. Got some new clips up there of Ohtani's double and the trainers checking up on him on the mound from Wednesday night. Warren Schaefer talking about Ohtani. So much more. Please check that out. Appreciate all the momentum you've provided me. But that kind of momentum, well, it can only be as good as my next show. So, of course, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.